I'm going to read Psalm 39 from the New King James Bible. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you've made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Excuse me just for a moment. So sorry. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. But now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Amen.
Amen. We talk joy this morning to welcome to bringing the message, Brother Guy, our High Commissioner from St. Lucia. Brother Guy, we thank God for you, for your precious family, for your encouragement to us, and I know in St. Lucia as well. And we thank God for your ministry of the word, and we are handing over to you now, Brother Guy. Thank you.
Good morning to all who are listening and attending our service this morning. As you've heard, today is going to be our communion Sunday. So I'm pleased to spend a few minutes before Pastor takes over with the communion to share with you just a few words of encouragement as we go through this storm. And it's not just a storm. The current situation is like a hurricane, a storm, a tsunami, all joined into one. And the whole world is being negatively impacted by it. And so whereas there is a storm in one country, I make example of the little island of St. Lucia where I'm from. If there's a storm there, it may affect St. Lucia. And then places like the UK would call on them for help. Or you may have a storm in the UK, maybe just affecting one part of the UK, but the rest of the country is alive and well. But with this pandemic, the whole world is in crisis, and everybody is trying to help themselves. So I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning as we examine where we are at under the title, Our God is Faithful and Unchanging. I'm going to look at four headings. God is faithful and He's unchanging. Man is sinful and constantly running away from God. God sometimes puts roadblocks in our way to remind us we are not in control. But despite that, God always makes a way of escape for us. And God sacrificed his son to redeem us and to bring us back to him. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the opportunity to spend a few minutes in your word this morning. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And we thank you that despite the turmoil that is going on all around the world, and churches are in lockdown, that you are able to help us meet, that you've given man the wisdom to have the internet, and that we can have virtual church where we can encourage each other. We pray, dear God, that as we look into your word, and as we have our communion this morning, that you would bless, that your Holy Spirit would be in our midst, and dear God, that you would be pleased with our service to you. We give you praise, we give you thanks, we give you honor, and we give you glory, and we commit this session to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So folks, I want us to look into Psalm 39. And I deliberately chose that chorus, which is sort of the basis of what I want to speak about today. Because as we have said, the whole world is currently in crisis. And having read Psalm 39, with David facing his own set of calamities, wondering what was life really worth it, and having fought so many battles in his life, many times having to run away and live in caves, his own son trying to kill him, and Saul, the former king, became his enemy, and he moved from using psalms and playing on his harp to soothe King Saul, to Saul hunting him down as an animal. And David was wondering, what is life? And he said in verse 7, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? What am I waiting for? What am I doing here? What is life all about?" He asked the question. And then he gives the answer. "My hope is in you, Lord." Which is really nicely captured by the singer of this song. He says, "Faithful one, so unchanging." God is always faithful. God is always looking after his children. And so it makes sense that the only one we can put our hope in would be our God. The songwriter Robin Mark, in singing this, or taking this, or various parts of Psalms together, singing this heart-soothing refrain, "Faithful one, so unchanging, my hope is in you alone." At this time, when there is so much turmoil, God is our rock. He's our rock in time of trouble, and we can always call on him. They've been calling people, asking people to call to get the test. And many times people are complaining that they cannot get on the line because the line is cramped. Or if they get on and they tell them that they'll call them back in a few minutes or in an hour. I hear people on the news complaining that a whole day passes and then they cannot get a call because the lines are all filled. Everybody's calling at the same time. That is not a problem we have with God. We can always call on him and he is always there to hear us. There are no telephone blocks. There are no leave a message. There are no cross lines. God is always there to hear us, and we can call on him again and again and again, and he'll always be there. Many people are desperate in this time of trouble, and God is the rock that they can call on. He lifts us up when we fall down. And his love, which is unchanging, is the anchor that is keeping us and keeping the world together. This definition of faithful and unchanging is telling us that God's love and God's mercy to us is irrefutable. It is unalterable. It is completely and utterly dependable. You know, sometimes our earthly friends may fail us and abandon us, but God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is why, as God's children, we can sing with confidence, "Faithful One, so unchanging, my hope is in you alone." That is a great definition for God. As we read in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, I'll read, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And verse 7 reads, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" You see, here in the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi is rebuking God's children for the ingratitude, for the careless abandonment of the observances of God's institutions, and for turning their back on the true God and serving other gods. But despite that, he pleads with them, "Return to me, and I will return to you." There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that God continues to be upset with mankind. You see, God cannot tolerate sin. From Adam and Eve disobeying God in the Garden of Eden, then hiding away from God, man continues to turn his back on God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 7. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry I have made them. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When we look around at the world today, can we truly say that the world is any better off now than it was in the days of Noah? We see before the virus or the pandemic hit the world, everybody was about their own selves. Everybody was about how much money they can make, consumerism. Everybody felt that they were in control of their own destiny. And it was just a pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure. Despite poverty in some parts of the world, in some areas, we see so much money being spent with man trying to explore the universe. Money is being spent by persons who have made so much money and now saying they're offering human beings a holiday to space. And some of those same people now, with the pandemic hitting the world, all of a sudden the billions of dollars that they had spending on those items, they now have to be asking the government to bail them out. And they have to be using all the resources they have to just to remain alive. You know, sometimes God just has to put a check on us. Back then, during the time of Noah, the people did not listen to Noah. They made fun of him when he was trying to ask them to put God first. They were just given into pleasure. They were just, was just so crazy, just like what is happening now. Even when God told Noah to build the ark, they made fun of him because they did not want to hear about God. They felt that they were in control of their own destiny. And that is why God said it grieved him that he had made man. Even now, with all what's going on around us, just like in the day of Noah, when we try to bring Christ to the world, when we try to witness to persons who we see are madly going about the business and destroying their lives, they try to make fun of us. They don't want to hear about Christ. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So despite the fact that the world will not listen to us and they're madly rushing into hell, we have a responsibility as God's people to offer them the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God to salvation. God's people are always in the midst And as Christians, we are called to be the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And so this brings me to the current situation confronting us in the world today. Most of us are starting our 8th week in lockdown due to COVID-19 pandemic. I believe that this is a natural as well as a spiritual, this has a natural as well as a spiritual dimension to what's going on in the world at the moment. The instructions from the authorities, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. I'm sure we all can recite that by heart by now, because we see it so many times every day. Even the kids, I'm sure, know it by heart. Stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. But what exactly is going on? I'm sure that all of us who are listening in today and a part of this service, have we ever experienced this before in our lives? Anybody who have experienced that before me, can I see your hand? This is unprecedented in the world. There have been plagues before in the world, but nothing on that scale. As I said, there is a spiritual dimension to what is going on at the moment, but unfortunately, I will not have time to develop this point this morning. But suffice it to say that despite the fact that this is the first time all of us here are experiencing such a pandemic, requiring us to be confined to our homes for such a long period, this is not the first time the world has experienced plagues. And I refer to it as a plague, because plagues have been around for hundreds of years, yea, thousands of years. But because of the interconnected world that we live in today, the impact has never been so severe. In the old days, when persons were struck down with leprosy, which was a dreaded disease, they had to be put out of the city, and they had to be in confinement. So it was just the persons who had leprosy that were put away for this length of time that they had the leprosy, and then they had to come and present themselves to the high priest. And when they were declared healed or cured, when the sores had passed, then they were allowed to come back into society. But it was only the persons who were suffering with leprosy had to wear a mask, and they had to proclaim unclean, unclean, so that everybody knew that they were unclean, so that they would not pass the leprosy on, because the leprosy could be passed on that way. But look at what's happening to us today. This virus is spreading, and we are told we have to treat everybody else as though they are unclean. And so now it's not only those persons who have the disease who have to wear a mask. All of a sudden we are being told all of us have to wear a mask. So whether you have it or not, to protect yourself, you're being told to wear a mask. Today, wearing a mask seemed to become a fad, a commonplace. Could you imagine before the virus, and you're walking down the street in London, and you see somebody with, or you on a line in the bank, and you see somebody walking with the hoodie on, dark shades on, a mask on, and you can't even make out who they are in a bank, and nobody makes a fuss about it. Long time ago, everybody would be afraid and think that somebody's coming to rob the bank, or somebody's coming to rob the supermarket, or somebody's coming to do damage to you. Now, that's gone. Everybody accepting now that they have to wear a mask to protect themselves. But God has given man wisdom to develop himself. Man has developed spacecrafts, airlines, airplanes, trains, electric cars. You can now buy an electric car that can self-drive. Imagine that. I have tested one, and I was amazed that on the streets of London you can drive a car. Near Shepherd's Bush, I tried it, and I just sat there and let the car drive me on its own at 40 miles an hour. You know, man has developed robots and replaced thousands of workers in factories and distribution facilities. Man has developed the internet, Wi-Fi, computers, GPS, mobile phones, and the list goes on, which all adds to making man believe he's self-sufficient and no longer needs God. And in the process, we are destroying the planet. But every time man thinks he has things under control, God have to give him a reality check. Because remember, God is unchanging. And God is the one in control, not us. So we are faced with this pandemic. The economy of the world is brought to its knees. And the blame game is heating up. Millions of people have lost their jobs or laid off from work. Children and parents are trapped at home because schools are closed. And we are told, stay indoors, don't even go and visit your neighbor. Family can't come to visit. Is China to be blamed? Was COVID-19 developed in a lab and escaped as a result of an error at the lab or deliberately released? Is it an animal disease that jumped from animal to man? Is it caused by the 5G network, as some people say? Will a vaccine or cure soon be found? Some are blaming the government and others in authority for not handling the situation properly. And even while we are in lockdown, domestic violence has increased. Millions around the world have been infected with the virus. And millions have died. And I got the current up-to-date situation in the world. Or let me start with the UK. The UK currently has 182,260 cases. And during this period, 28,131 people have died. And hundreds are dying every day. Have we ever experienced anything like that in our lives before? In the world, we have had 3,499,398 cases today. And you know what? 244,991 persons have died as a result of the virus. These are put lives. And I wonder how many of these people knew the Lord before they passed. That should be our concern as God's people. Man is now afraid and don't know what to do. Fortunately, God is unchanging and God is faithful. What can we as God's people do during this time of confinement to our homes? We must go back to basics and put our faith and our trust in God. For he is our provider. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our protector, and he is our savior. Fortunately, despite the temporary closure of our churches, we can use the internet to fellowship with each other and introduce Christ to our lost acquaintances who are in despair. We are having our first internet communion today. So welcome to the new normal. In all we do, we must not despair. Like David, we put our trust and our confidence in God. I heard a good analogy from a psychologist earlier in the week when she said, anxiety lives in the future, so we should live in the present, and this will reduce our level of stress. And she's correct, because this is biblical. Too many people are worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or when will the virus disappear. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, the Lord tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what everybody is looking for at the moment, peace. They want to know what is going to happen to them and how they're going to survive this pandemic. But we must go to God daily for our daily food, as we are told in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. The answers are in God's word. And so what we need to do is to feast on God's word daily, as we were advised last week. So let us be wise and take advantage of this opportunity while we are in lockdown for self-development and drawing closer to God. The attitude we exercise towards this situation will determine how well or how bad we come out of it when it's all over. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on the final part of Psalm 39, concludes that afflictions are sent to stir up prayer. If they have that effect, we may hope that God will hear our prayers. But the believer expects weariness and ill treatment on his way to heaven, but he shall not stay here long. Walking with God by faith, he goes forward on his journey, not diverting from his course, nor cast down by the difficulties he meets. How blessed it is to sit loose from these things below, that while going home to our Father's house, we may use the world, but not abuse it. May we always look for that city whose builder and maker is God. God has made provision for us to enter that city through sacrificing his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary to take away our sins. Christ was despised. He was rejected. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was beaten. He was spat upon, and suffered the most cruel death upon the cross so that we could have eternal life. Friends, if you have not yet trusted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I invite you to do so today, so that if you are struck down by the coronavirus or any other cause, you know you are safe in God's hands, who is faithful and unchanging. So you can put your trust, you can put your hope in him alone. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can put our faith and our hope in you. You are an unchanging God. You will never fail us. And though we run away from you and we think that we do not need you, whenever adversity strikes, it is you that everyone runs back to. And so, Lord, as we, the whole world is in turmoil, we ask that you would be our rock, that you would be our anchor, for in you we have peace. We thank you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.